ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Reading from Canto 2, Chapter 4, Texts 2 and 3. So, what did we discuss last time we were together? How does Chapter 3 end? How does Chapter 4 begin? Yes.
Based on the conversation between Parikshit Maharaj and Shukadeva Goswami, the sages asked that surely there must be more discussion to it, and they are enthusiastically asking for more of the discussion between the two.
And that's the end of chapter 3, and then chapter 4 begins. Sutta starts speaking to the sages in response, and he speaks about what Maharaj Parikshit did after hearing from Shukadeva Goswami, and he got the answer to his questions. What did he do?
He fixed his mind
on the verse. Yeah, that was the verse. The first verse of chapter 4. This is the qualifications of Maharaj Parikshit as a listener, kind of a continuation of that same understanding from Canto 1. There's a series of exchanges between a speaker and a listener, and the qualifications of both must be there for the full effect of the transcendental life to like ignite. Qualified speaker, qualified listener. Maharaj Parikshit has the qualifications. And his qualification, first step, was having heard about the process of achieving perfection, he applied that process by fixing his mind upon the personality of God. We heard some details about that. In the course of his life, he had a whole series of opportunities of benefit, and he not just had an opportunity, but he fully took advantage of each one, and now this final complete detachment, I mean, it's death. It's certain 7 days more and finished, death notice. So then he approached the qualified person, Shukadeva Goswami. Shukadeva Goswami came to him. And he submitted the proper question, fixed his mind upon the personality of Godhead in this spirit of complete detachment from all temporary things. So there's these series of receiving mercy, applying that mercy, receiving more mercy, applying that mercy, receiving more mercy, applying that mercy, continuing to the stage of perfection. That's what we're hearing about Maharaj Parikshit in text 1. We also heard some description of how he was perfectly chaste. He had no other shelter but Krishna. So now in these next verses, we're going to hear more about, because of what he did in text number 1, he fixed his mind upon Krishna. That gave him the strength to be completely detached from any sense of worldliness, any other shelter. And relevance for us is that opportunity will also come our way. At least for sure, all, you know, at once, everything's going to be taken. So Krishna is kind and he may help us to go steps down the path of a little bit at a time, becoming detached from worldliness, so that on the strength of our attachment to him. But the first is this chase, his mind being completely, he was already, he heard, from the still within the womb of his mother, he saw the personality of Godhead, and he stayed with that experience his whole life, absorbed. He became king, absorbed. He heard stories about the Pandavas, his grandparents, along with their relationship with Krishna, and further absorbed his mind, and further absorbed his mind. Now comes this death notice, detachment from all things, hearing from Shukadeva Goswami, further detachment, further absorption, just dedication, complete dedication to the personality of Godhead. So that's text one. Then text two, as a result of his wholehearted attraction for Lord Krishna, now we're going to hear about detachment. From attachment to Krishna comes detachment from the rest. Bhakti Parishanubhava Viraktir Anyatra Cha. We're going to hear about the Viraktir Anyatra Cha part. Detachment from the rest. Maharaj Pariksit, as a result of his wholehearted attraction for Lord Krishna, wholehearted attraction for Lord Krishna. Was able to give up all deep-rooted affection for his personal body, his wife, his children, his palace, his animals like horses and elephants, his treasury house, his friends and relatives, and his undisputed kingdom. Viraktir Anyatracha is not going to happen unless there's deep-rooted affection. Wholehearted attraction for Krishna. So, wholehearted attraction from this wholehearted attraction for Krishna or attachment to Krishna comes as a result of hearing and chanting, and through hearing and chanting, anartha nivritti, unwanted things in the heart, subtle things in the heart are eliminated. Leaving just the one thing, shelter in Krishna. In Prabhupada's purport, he writes, to become liberated means to become free from dehatma buddhi. Deha, atma buddhi, thinking of the deha to be atma, the body to be the self. Dehatma buddhi, the intelligence that says, I am this body. False ego, identification with the body. The illusory attachment for personal bodily coverings and everything connected with the body. So this is I and mine. This has been discussed in this earlier in this chapter, or in this canto. The I and mine of material consciousness is I am this body. So what is mine is things in relation to this body. And one is identifying on that platform. This is the material conception. I often speak of the spiritual conception. The spiritual conception is stated negatively. It's not those things. and stated positively, it's I'm the eternal servant of Krishna, and that's who I am, and nothing is mine. But the service that I have for Krishna, my relationship with Krishna is what I have. And with my relationship with Krishna, everything is fair game for service to Krishna. That's like, you know, the good and the bad of the mix, and whatever is there, it's an opportunity for service to Krishna based on the spiritual conception. Wherever we are, it's an opportunity for service to Krishna. There's detachment from, it's got to be like this so I can be happy. It can't be like that because I'll be unhappy. It's whatever it is. And through the course of devotional service, spiritual influence is brought to the situation so it becomes more pleasing to Krishna, because that's what we're interested in the spiritual conception. So, specifically mentioned are in conjunction with the bodily conception is household paraphernalia. First picture was a householder. It's not beating up on householders. He says it was a householder. And householders have paraphernalia. The next sentence. So it starts with one selects a wife for bodily comforts, and the result is children. For wife and children, one requires a dwelling place, and as such, a residential house is also necessary. Animals, horses, he puts elephants in the list. Cows and dogs are all household animals, and a householder has to keep them as household paraphernalia. In modern civilization, the horses and elephants have been replaced by cars and conveyance with considerable horsepower to maintain all the household affairs. One has to increase the bank balance and be careful about the treasury house. And in order to display opulence of material assets, one has to keep good relations with friends and relatives, as well as become very careful about maintaining the status quo. Very important. Have to maintain the status quo. Very important. This is called material civilization, of material attachment. Devotion for Lord Krishna means negation of all material attachments, as detailed above. By the grace of Lord Krishna, Maharaj Parikshit was awarded all material amenities and an undisputed kingdom in which to enjoy the undisputed position of king. But by the grace of the Lord, he was able to give up all connection with material attachment. That is the position of a pure devotee. So, it's like a storybook kind of a thing, perhaps. It's something out there in fairyland and really doesn't apply to me because I don't have to become detached. I'll just become a pure devotee and stay attached. But doesn't work that way. The process, so nice. Prabhupada's purport is so nice. So he describes in the purport that either by the process of training or learning how to turn everything into the service of the Lord, or by force, one is taken away all material connections. Either way, by force of circumstance, or by training and understanding and application of that training, and the message of the purport is by, here we come again with this message of the mood of service, but it's right explicitly in the purport. Maharaj Pariksit had all this stuff, and while he was king, although he had all this stuff, he wasn't attached. And how was that possible? Because of his mood of service. He employed, as a responsible king, his fantastic treasury, his great physical prowess, his fame. These are opulences. And he employed them all in service to Krishna. And all the paraphernalia of his household, he didn't consider it as his own, but it was surrendered entirely to the service of the Lord. The message here is, this mood of service is, it's like a link, or it's an agent to manifest attachment to the Supreme and thereby detachment of things. Because the identity becomes, instead of I'm his body, the identity becomes I'm Krishna's eternal servant. The body is there as an instrument of service. The paraphernalia that is around me is objects for service. Whatever subtle capacity I have, whatever grosser physical capacity I have, thank you, Krishna, it's an opportunity for serving you. In the mood of service, it facilitates in our lifetime detachment, so that when stuff is taken away at the time of death, it's not gone, nothing. It's thank you, Krishna. This is now an opportunity that just on the spiritual platform I can continue to serve you, whatever facility there is. The mood of service converts both subtle assets and gross assets into opportunities for service to Krishna, because behind them is the spiritual conception. I just want to serve Krishna. My real identity is not this body. My real identity is a tiny spiritual spark. So we hear the philosophy again and again, but are we applying it? I know that already, but what's next? I want to go higher. Without the core teaching, which Prabhupada very kindly instructed again and again, and that's the training part, the instructions again and again. And what made Maharaj Pariksit qualified was he applied what he heard again and again, so he could go further and go more deeply. And then also the circumstances of life help us to become detached from worldly things and become more attached to Krishna. Circumstances orchestrated with knowledge. Then we're equipped. When when something comes, somebody was sharing this with me in some correspondence. Due to the training in Krishna consciousness that they have received, there was some, doesn't matter who it is, there was somebody where their elderly father had a paralysis attack. I mean, like a heart attack, and half of his body was not feeling anything, couldn't move. And the son and his wife or the mother were, because of the training in Krishna, so things happen. So, at some point, the whole machine's going to stop. So half the machine stopped. and how to handle that situation. And, you know, an elderly woman with she's been with her husband her whole life, and there he is, half his body isn't even functioning. And but she stayed very strong. And that strength then not only helped her, but it helped the half of her husband that was working. Because he could, you know, that was strength for him. And as slowly as his functioning other half of the body started to happen, it gave him an opportunity to more deeply appreciate the training that his wife had received and the wonderful mood of his wife, but even more the urgency of taking full shelter in Krishna, because he'd like being given a second chance. But the spiritual resource carried him to that position rather than, you know, so many other places that one can be carried to. And, you know, and all the persons that watched this thing happening, that nurtured their faith also. How valuable this training in Krishna consciousness is. Because there's always something. It can be a bigger something or a smaller something, but it's always something that's bringing some disturbance into our life. And without shelter in Krishna, we just get absorbed in that, neutralizing that difficulty that's come into our life. The program of struggling very hard. And it doesn't end. It's not even end with this lifetime. It goes on lifetime after lifetime. Struggle and struggle and struggle. That's the life of godless civilization. Simply trying to counteract the struggles better. Or divert your attention to something else, so it's, you don't have to feel that the pain of that struggle. These things go on in material existence. And the spiritual solution is to face it head on. The root of the problem is, I'm in this material existence because I forgot Krishna. I, you know, in a huff, turned my back on Krishna and went the other way. And I'm paying a big price for it. So, through the mercy of Krishna, back to the previous verse, when one receives mercy from Krishna, that mercy one should recognize what it is, very carefully cherish it, apply it in an ongoing manner in our life, qualifying ourselves to receive yet further mercy, and in different forms it may look like, wow, this is really nice, or it may look like, wow, this is really not nice. But when mercy of Krishna comes, to recognize it and apply it, and it's supported very strongly by the hearing and chanting process. So when things happen, we have the strength through our training, through hearing and applying. And detach. These both of these verses. The first verse is attachment, the two verses following are detachment from the body and things in relation to the body, and, you know, subtle things like, oh, you're famous, or oh, you're intelligent, or oh, you're whatever you are. You're the subtle and material assets of life are like a lead weight on a drowning man's body. Unless the spirit of detachment is there, and one can learn how to bring about elevation through the mood of service. I'll read the sentence. It's three times in the purport explicitly. Attachment for household paraphernalia and for Lord Krishna go poorly together. One attachment is the path of darkness. The other attachment is the path of light. Where there is light, there's no darkness. And where there's darkness, there's no light. But an expert devotee can turn everything to the path of light by an attitude of service to the Lord. And the best example here is the Pandavas, or Yudhisthira. And householders like him can turn everything to light by dovetailing so-called material assets in the service of the Lord. But one who is not trained or is unable to turn everything to the service of the Lord, Nirbandhu Krishna Sambandhe, must give up all material connections before he can be fit to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. In other words, when he has seriously heard Srimad Bhagavatam for even one day, like Maharaj Parikshit, because this is the first day of his hearing, from a fit personality like Shukadeva Goswami, may be able to lose all affinity for material things. And it's not optional. It's a necessary component, or it is part of devotional service. It is not that one has to give up household paraphernalia, but one has to give up attachment for household paraphernalia. One has to give up, they don't have to give up the body, you have to give up attachment to identifying with the body. It elaborates on this in the next verse. It's such an important message. So, what's Maharaj Parikshit's qualification? He's exhibiting it. He heard, he fixed his mind upon the personality of Godhead. He was already fixed. He became more concentrated in his, more deeply concentrated upon the personality of Godhead. As a result, he had the strength to further detach himself from the body and all things in relation to the body, the relatives of the relations of the body, and the paraphernalia of the household, and his animals, and his treasury, and his undisputed kingdom. He wasn't feeling any, oh my God, I'm losing all this stuff. It was gone. It was, even before it was gone, it was gone. I mean, attachment-wise, because of his deep absorption. And that opened his heart. This is the key thing in the whole process of hearing and chanting. It opened his heart so that the further messages that Shukadeva Goswami is going to speak went more deeply. It wasn't an intellectual, oh, this is very interesting, what's next? It went deeply into his heart. So this detachment is critical for that to happen. Text number 3 and 4 go together. O great sages, this is suttas responding to the question of the sages. What happened next? What happened next? They fixed his mind upon the personality of Godhead. He completely, even further, detached himself from any worldly circumstance. O great sages, the great soul, Maharaj Parikshit, constantly wrapped in thought of Lord Krishna. It's Krishna Anubhava Shravane Shravadhano, with great faith, knowing well his imminent death, he renounced all sorts of religious activities, namely acts of religion, economic development, and sense gratification, and thus fixed himself firmly in his natural love for Krishna, and asked all these questions exactly as you are asking me. So we also ask questions. We don't have that, it doesn't go as deeply thing that happens. So we're being informed. How does that go more deeply happen? It's gradual. In even in Maharaj Pariksit's life, it was gradual. But we have to apply the principle now so we can go gradually, 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 more deeply. Krishna Anubhava Shravane. From what he had heard, his complete absorption in Krishna, wrapped in thought of Krishna, with full faith. Prabhupada's purport, the three activities of religion, economic development, and sense gratification are generally attractive for conditioned souls struggling for existence in the material world. Such regulated activities prescribed in the Vedas are called karma kandiya, conception of life, and householders are generally recommended to follow the rules just to enjoy material prosperity both in this life and in the next. Most people are attracted by such activities. Actually, they're attracted to the prosperity in this world and the next, and if something gets me there, I'll do it. Even in the activities of their modern godless civilization, people are more concerned with economic development and sense gratification without any religious sentiments. So the rest of the purport, I'll just preview it a little bit. He's taking us through this, like, you know, the ladder, the chapter 12. This is at the top rung is consciousness fixed in the personality and got it. Mind absorbed in me, intelligence always fixed in me. In such a state, surely you will attain me. That, and if you can't do that, the next step down, you can't do that. So he's now, Prabhupada is in the purport is going at the bottom is the godless civilization of unregulated activities, and they too just want sense gratification. And to get sense gratification, economic development, and that's what's going on outside all the time. A little above that is we want sense gratification and economic development, but we want to be a little nice about it. We want to do that by following some kind of codes of religiosity. So Prabhupada indicates that's just the beginning of human civilization. They still want sense gratification. That's the numero uno. But I follow some kind of prescription of codes of scripture how to get there. So godless vikarma and regulated by codes of religion. Better than that is knowledge. Better than that is meditation. Better than that is the process of karma yoga, where I give up the fruits of my work. Better than that is where I specifically dedicate the fruits of my work to the Supreme. Better than that is the regulations of bhakti yoga. Better than that is the platform of Maharaj Pariksit. He's already given up the rituals that people are. We see it in Krishna consciousness. People come to Krishna consciousness. They've got their sets of worships and rituals and things that, you know, they want to bring that with them into Krishna consciousness. But the message of Krishna consciousness, so that can happen. We don't fault them for that. But the message of Krishna consciousness is Aham Ekam Sharanam. Just surrender to Krishna. Just surrender to Krishna. And He'll take care of everything. All desirable things, all purification, whatever it is. Because that's the essence and or the real spirit of those other things anyway. Just do the essence. Expands this further. As a great emperor in the world, Maharishi Pariksit had to observe such regulations of the Vedic Karmakandiya section. He had to set example for people in his kingdom that, you know, he was a Krishna Bhakta, like Maharaj Avrish, Krishna Bhakta. But he understood there are persons in his kingdom that aren't on that platform, and so he engaged brahmanas and doing rituals that will help people in general understand how they can, you know, spirit, you know, be a little bit elevated besides animals. Prabhupada spoke like that also, that after the following devotional service in training devotees in devotional service, this, he said, the next phase of his work was introducing Varnashram Dharma. One of the reasons is for citizens that can't and won't just directly surrender to Krishna. But another reason was some of his own disciples weren't directly surrendered to Krishna. He was saying they're not chanting their rounds and not chanting their Gayatris. So they're not taking that, you know, the elevator, they've got to take the staircase. Because elevation is really what has to happen. If we take proper shelter of the hearing and chanting activities, those things aren't needed. Maharishi Pariksit, being a king, he was doing those things because the citizens needed that example from him in order to follow. But by his slight association with Shukadeva Goswami, he could perfectly understand that Krishna, the Absolute Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, for whom he had a natural love since his birth, is everything. And thus he fixed his mind firmly upon him, renouncing all modes of Vedic Karmakandiya activities. So it wasn't just the circumstance, oh, now I'm going to die, so I don't have to observe these rituals. If persons don't have shelter in Krishna, they'll take shelter in rituals, because that's all they know. But through the association of Shukadeva Goswami and such qualified devotees, one can understand these other shelters I don't require. In fact, they're hindrances. Let me just take shelter of Krishna. It's not like we haven't heard this before, but we don't do it. We still maintain other shelters. So at some point we have to do it. And by training, Krishna is providing us some assistance. And by circumstance, Krishna is providing us some assistance. Where the other shelters are, by circumstance, somehow inaccessible or taken away, or, you know, we see that it's not the path, not going to take one to happiness. It shuts down. And shelter of Krishna alone is our option. So we take, like Gajendra. Shelter of Krishna alone. So in Maharaj Pariksit's case, he understood through Shukadeva Goswami's association, and he took that exclusive shelter, thus permitting this complete detachment from other things. It follows like that. Vajana Kriya precedes Anartha Nivritti. Taking shelter of Krishna, saying yes to Krishna, precedes being able to say no to non-Krishna or worldliness. The jnanis, or the empiric philosophers, endeavor for liberation. are thousands of times better than the fruit of workers. So above, there's the godless civilization, the regulated karmakandiya fruit of workers. Above that, the jnanis. Thousands of times better. And out of hundreds of thousands of such jnanis, one may become liberated, factually. And out of hundreds of thousands of such liberated persons, even one person is rarely found who can firmly fix his mind unto the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Krishna declares this in Bhagavad Gita 7.19. Maharishi Pariksit is specially qualified with the word maha manaha, which puts him on the level of the Mahatmas. So in this verse, this Krishna anubhava shravane shraddha dhano maha manaha. So he's come to that position. He's being recognized by Sutta Goswami as he's fully taking shelter of Krishna, the Mahatma. Mahatmanastamam partha daivim prakritamashrita. That verse. He's there. And the association of Shukadeva Goswami has helped bring him there. And so, viraktir anyatracha, he's detached. Completely detached because of his shelter taking in Krishna. So it's being solely and wholly dependent upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. That's the symptom. Where that's the spiritual conception of life. The material conception, so many shelters, I need this and that, and so many props to make me secure and happy. And the spiritual conception is those things are false soldiers, they're false shelters. They're solely and wholly Krishna is my shelter. So through, again, by training and understanding and applying this shelter taking in Krishna exclusively, or by circumstance, other shelters are taken away. And like this example I gave, his father who became half paralyzed, there's a shelter. We're used to having our body work, and when it doesn't work, what do you do? When your body doesn't work or your mind doesn't work, so, you know, the system shuts down. But the soul is still there. Again, somebody was describing some condition of somebody who was in incredibly difficult illness or something like that. But the mental clarity, like Prabhupada's mental clarity, was so strong. Read the purports of the prayers of Lord Brahma to Krishna after Brahma Vimohan Lila. Such eloquent purports, deep, filled with Shastric quotes, and just astounding purports. And Prabhupada's body was completely shot, just racked with pain and finished. Mental clarity, sharp as a tack. Completely detached from the body. So that's a super extreme case. And we don't have to, at least at the moment, deal with such an extreme case. We certainly have to deal with bumps in the road that come as we're going down the path of life. And being fixed in Krishna consciousness will permit us to address them without being disturbed, staying absorbed in our spiritual destination, our spiritual direction, absorbed in Krishna consciousness, taking shelter of the hearing. This is the whole idea. This detachment permits an openness of heart so we can hear the message and have it go deeply. And give us protection and shelter. Most of the rest of the purport is a series of beautiful quotes from Rupa Goswami and Madhavendra Puri and Lord Chaitanya Shikshastakam that amplify this point. The summary of them, I'll read one of them, two of them. The summary of them is from shelter in Krishna, same as Maharaj Pariksit, from shelter in Krishna and absorbing one's thought in Krishna. Other things just don't carry the same significance anymore. Here's Madhavendra Puri. So who is Madhavendra Puri? He's the spiritual master of Ishwara Puri, who's the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya. And he introduced or exhibited this ecstatic, spontaneous devotion on the platform of the gopis of Vrindavan. These are quoted in Bhagavad Gita also. Sandhya Vandana Badram Astu Bhavato Bhas Nana Tubhyam Namo. All my evening prayer, all glory unto you. All my morning bath, I bid you goodbye. O demigods and forefathers, please excuse me. I am unable to perform any more offerings for your pleasure. Now I've decided to free myself from all reactions to sin simply by remembering anywhere and everywhere the great descendant of Yadu and the great enemy of Kamsa, Lord Krishna. I think that this is sufficient for me. So, what is the use of further endeavors? It's exclusive shelter, and by that detachment from things that might be considered karma kandya, oh, you should do this, you should do that because it's elevating. Then, let the sharp moralist accuse me of being illusioned. I do not mind. Experts in Vedic activities may slander me as being misled. Friends and relatives may call me frustrated. My brothers may call me a fool. The wealthy Mammonites may point me out as mad. And the learned philosophers may assert that I am much too proud. Still, my mind does not budge an inch from the determination to serve the lotus feet of Govinda, though I am unable to do it. Beautiful. Determination with humility. That's not a mental adjustment program. It's full surrender to Krishna. And in that full surrender to Krishna, the connection is so strong that other things just fade. Although they may have been everything, and for worldly people they are everything. So one of these or a combination of these things. Moralists. Those expert in Vedic activities, friends and relatives, learned scholars, wealthy Mammonites. Still my mind does not budge an inch from the determination to serve the lotus feet of Govinda, though I am unable to do it. Rupa Goswami, similar, Bhakti Lord Chaitanya. Here's Prahlad Maharaj. Dharma Artha Koma It. Dharma, Artha, Kama, Itiyo, Vihitas, Trivarga. Or, religion, economic development, and sense gratification are celebrated as means of achieving the path of salvation. Of these, Iksha Trayi, especially knowledge of the self, knowledge of fruit of acts and logic, and also politics and economics are different means of livelihood. All these are different subjects of Vedic education, and therefore I consider them temporary engagements. On the other hand, surrender unto the Supreme Lord Vishnu is a factual gain, and I consider it the ultimate truth. Like karma and gyan, full surrender to the personality of Godhead with unflinching determination and faith. That detachment is essential to go more deeply in one's relationship with Krishna, and that's the teaching of the Bhagavatam. That's the mission of human life. We get an opportunity through hearing, we may get an opportunity through training, we may get an opportunity through circumstance, and the examination is, are we going to surrender to Krishna? And Bhagavatam wants us to surrender to Krishna. Concluding paragraph. The whole matter is concluded in Bhagavad Gita 241 as Vyavasayatmika Buddhi, or the absolute path of perfection. Sri Baladev Vidyabhushan, a great Vedic scholar, defines this as Sanskrit Bhagavat Archana Rupika, Bhagavat Archana Rupaika Nishkam Karma Bir Vishuddha Chittaha. So this Vishuddha Chittaha, purified intelligence. What is purified intelligence, or this Vyavasayatmika Buddhi? What is it? Bhagavat Archana Rupaika Nishkam Karma Bir. Accepting transcendental loving service to the Lord is the prime duty of life, free from fruitive reaction. So free from fruitive reaction means free from fruitive intent. What's the determining factor for what I do or don't do? Krishna's satisfaction. That's surrender. Anuko yasya sankalpa, pratiko yasya varjanam. I accept those things that are favorable for bringing pleasure to Krishna. Those things that are not favorable for devotional service to Krishna, I've lost interest in them. I don't place great value. I don't invest consciousness in those things. They just drop off. Without consideration of fruitive gain, and without the reactions that come with those considerations of fruitive gain, that's what pure consciousness is, and that's what real liberation is. Beyond liberation, it's our constitutional happiness. Really nice. Srimad Bhagavatam is through the narration of Maharaj Prikshit, hearing from Shukadeva Goswami, we're getting all this wonderful understanding. So, one more time, Maharaj Prikshit's circumstance is extreme. His death is pounding on his door. But and ours is less extreme, so, you know, we have some more preparation time. But the preparation time is for that time when death is pounding on our door. And our false shelters, if we haven't carefully considered what the goal of life is, we will still be scrambling after those false shelters. Oh, please save me. It won't happen. It would be a very fearful condition. So, incrementally, Krishna is giving us an opportunity through regular hearing and training in Krishna consciousness, and manageable circumstances of life where we can increase our surrender to Krishna and detachment from these so many false shelters of material existence. The medium is our service mood. The hearing that we do should directly go into that nurturing, that service mood, and apply ourselves in the practical matters of life in the mood of trying to serve Krishna through that medium of whatever we do. In work and family and social and, you know, internal and external. It converts the mundane into a spiritual opportunity. Hare Krishna. Any discussion?
Yeah. Guru Maharaj, you're mentioning that when you're in a mood of service, then you realize that you are so sort of theoretically having the concept that I am a spirit soul. Could you please elaborate on this?
Can I please elaborate? Well, it's a contrasting position to material existence. In material existence, our consciousness is invested in thinking of dehatma buddhi. The body is the self, and we don't know. So if we don't have a service mood, and we hear, you're not this body, we can think about it and say, oh, that makes sense, you know, sure. And then go on in dehatma buddhi consciousness. We don't experience the soul. But if we actually, accept, okay, theoretically, that's good. And then we apply that understanding in the mood of, while we're doing the things that we do, it's service, that's undeniable. Whether one is Krishna conscious or an illusion, we're serving. Let me serve cultivate the mood that of service, that this is a spirit soul animating this body, and the spirit soul, this particular spirit soul, the one inhabiting this body, wants to serve Krishna favorably. And we do the things that we do in that consciousness. There can be an experience, a liberating experience, both liberating from the weight, the trouble and turmoil and grief and struggle that goes with identifying with the body or identifying with the other coverings of the soul, the mind. And just identify with the self on the platform of the soul. It's the medium for realizing our identity as the spirit soul. And happiness is from that soul platform. We may not be so familiar with it, but it's, you know, it's there. When I was visiting in Murfreesboro, I stayed in Abhishek's room, and he had a little bookshelf right on the desk. So I was curious, one very little book, the title of it was A Penny's Worth of Character. It was a story for sixth graders about some boy who, from Kentucky, was sent by his mother to take some empty bags of flour to the storekeeper. And the storekeeper would give him back a penny for each bag, and one of the bags had a hole in it, and he knew it. He took it anyway and gave it to the storekeeper, hoping he wouldn't examine it. He did examine it, and the storekeeper gave him 10 cents, and with the 10 cents he got a soda pop and something. And he went back, and his mother called him on it. What happened to that bag that had a hole in it? I gave it to the storekeeper. Did you know that it had a hole in it? Yeah. Why did you give it to the storekeeper? Because he's going to put flour in it. Flour is going to go out. onto the floor, and you know, you go back and take this bag back. Oh, he didn't want to do it because he was embarrassed, but finally he did it. And the storekeeper knew it before he came back, what had happened. And there was all this moral about, you know, be honest. The mother said, Abraham Lincoln, you know, he, storekeeper, and 3 pennies, and made a mistake and walked for miles to get the 3 pennies back. And you know how good he felt. And so there's this good feeling. The boy goes, you know, reluctant. And but Mr. Carter, the storekeeper, says, oh, your mother's going to go to heaven because, you know, she's training you to be honest. God's not in the picture at all. Just, you know, be good. Be honest. So, you know, for the sixth grader, the story says how good he felt, and after, like, you know, everything's, the birds are singing and the sky is blue and mom's happy and I'm happy as a lark and just flying in the sky, I'm so happy. From goodness. So there's a feeling of being conditioned by happiness in the mode of goodness. But devoid of God consciousness, what does that do? And so how do we experience the consciousness that we're spirit soul? Experience that consciousness through the medium of service to the Supreme Soul on the platform of the soul. The happiness is on the soul platform, serving the Supreme Soul. Not just the happiness of the mind. It's not the experience is not at all on the same platform. So to describe it doesn't give the experience. To act on that platform gives the experience. Otherwise, spiritual life remains this thing that's in the mind. And that's not Krishna consciousness. I mean, it's not the fullness of Krishna consciousness. So we really have to get down to the real program of acting from the platform of the soul. As we're doing the services that we do in our life, because we're constitutionally servants, we do so many services all the time. So to do those services in the humble mood that we're trying to please Krishna through all the services that we do. Taking Prahlad upstairs because he's misbehaving, and so many services we do. It's just service. It's not controlling, it's a service. Whatever it is that we do, it's in service to Krishna. And cultivating that consciousness will give us the experience of the real self is not the mind, it's not the body. It's a spirit soul, constitutionally serving Krishna. Yeah?
Having a spiritual conception of life in the beginning, at least, is it a mental adjustment?
Initially, it is not. Well, it's the mind carries conceptions of life, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, just like air carries aroma. Mind carries conceptions of life. So we can make some kind of, it's like information. You know, like a computer. You put information on your hard drive. And it's just information on the hard drive. It's not an experience of anything. So the spiritual conception of a tiny atomic particle, so that's in the mind. We can get it, you know. And then if it just stays in the mind, okay, I got that down, what's next? Then there's no realization. It remains a conception in the mind. But then if we apply the mind with that spiritual conception to the practical affairs of life, okay, we're serving our family and we're serving the devotees and we're going to the marketplace. You know, so if you apply that spiritual conception to the practical activities, you're bringing your thought of Krishna, the teachings, transcendental knowledge of Krishna and the self to activities of life. Then it's not theoretical anymore. Not just a mental adjustment. It may remain quasi like that, somewhat of okay. Like I said, you know, like a mental exercise of like anything else you might do, like learning how to type. You know, you're not supposed to watch your fingers when you're learning how to type. You just okay, ASDF, semaphore, now KJ. Okay, just practice and practice. But after some time, it just becomes, you know, you don't have to even think about it. It just comes. And how it comes, it just comes. Or driving a car. So it becomes second nature through practice. So the practice stage, vidhi sadhana bhakti, is we practice. Because that practice connects us with spiritual reality, that spiritual reality becomes second nature. You know, how it converts from, you know, the manual to the automatic. Krishna clears out the residual stuff of material conceptions of life, and it becomes our conception of life. And it's not just a conditioning from what it was before to another kind of conditioning, it's actually our constitutional position. It was service of Krishna. So we have to, we practice according to the regulations of bhakti given by our acharyas, meaning in the various phases of life. Like, you know, cleanliness and regulation and etiquette and things that promote the quality of goodness and open the doors of the heart to Krishna and Krishna's mercy, while we're carrying in the mind, you know, the conceptions that are at least, Prabhupada writes it sometimes, at least theoretically. And then comes practically. Jnanam vijnanam. Theoretical, practical. And from practical comes some realization. Krishna gives us some signal. And we pick up a signal on our receiver. Oh, that's what it means. Get some realization. And then we can act on the platform of realization. Not just the platform of applying the proper conception to life. It becomes a life of realization. Well, that's the robustness is the attachment that leads the way, like, you know, like a boat flying in the water. The boat flying in the water leaves behind it waves. Yes? Detachment is the waves. The boat flying in the water is the shelter taking. So as we apply the process of Krishna consciousness in our lives, we will then notice, like you just described, oh my goodness, look at all these attachments that I have. And they have a certain brand. Avoidance of pain brand. So the further that you apply the process of Krishna consciousness, is, you know, that attachment to avoid pain starts to fade. You know, your calculations become less and less and less and less due to the trust in connecting with Krishna. And the connection with Krishna is real. And that's my shelter, not this other business. That's just a headache, pain in the backside. It's entangling me. It's the avoidance of pain is miserable. My whole life is consumed in miserable existence. This other is full of life and energy and light and joy. And so then this other, then detachment manifests in that other becomes less important. I may still notice, oh, this gives me pain, and just keep going because it's, you know, so what? At least, you know, in degrees, in that, going in that direction. Bhima was describing to me what happened to one of his very dear friends, Narmada Swami, who was in his late 60s, was in charge of the BBT, and he got Parkinson's disease. That's painful. And just, you know, his body stopped working slowly. His hand, and he couldn't write, and couldn't even chant on beads, so he had to, you know, chant in his mind. And it got to a point where he just decided, not explicitly, but he made a decision. This makes no sense. So he just started reducing his eating and basically gave up his body. It was, you know, shot anyways. So when he commented that when somebody, I think it was Malati saw that happening, he said, wow, this is suicide. But then that made Bhima think. You know, then he found something that Prabhupada wrote, that at a certain point, when one understands this body is unfit for habitation, one may make such a decision. And but the mind then gets fixed on Krishna. So it's not just, you know, the avoidance of pain is you take painkillers or get out a machine so that, you know, your body works better or something. But, you know, it's the decision to just go to Krishna. Then you can transcend. And Bhima was, yes, this, Bhima was saying, although his body was shot, his mind was sharp. He was able to communicate only with his hands. His mouth wouldn't even work. His muscles were frozen. But his mind was as sharp as could be. So, that's because, you know, if it was attachment to the body, forget it. But if it's attachment to Krishna, the mind can be as sharp as anything. And, you know, with great clarity, what's going on, including the pain. Bhakti Jyotish Swami is like that too. I can't even imagine the pain. People that have described how painful cancer is. But completely clear and ecstatic in the association of devotees, you know. So just transcend whatever that, the happiness of avoiding pain. So the boat flying, going towards the goal of Krishna brings detachment. That's exactly what verses 2 through 4 are saying. Yes.
On one side it is said that we have to apply it, but on the other side it is also said that you should understand we are not the doer.
Okay.
So what is the right mode of applying?
When we apply, it's in Satan two ways. We make some, according to chapter 18 of Bhagavad Gita, text 13 or 14, something like that. There are five factors of action. One of them is we make some endeavor. We make some endeavor doesn't mean that we're doing it. We're depending on Krishna. We're making some endeavor and depending upon Krishna. And the mood of service has a similar connotation. We're assigned something. I'm not the doer. So if the material, an incomplete conception would be, okay, I'm given some service and I'll just sit here and pray and it'll somehow happen. But we make some endeavor. But we're depending upon Krishna. You endeavor to chant your rounds with full attention. The result is up to Krishna. That's our practical experience. We're fully dependent upon Krishna's mercy, because otherwise it's not happening. Okay. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada.